And as the kids go off, let us take some time to pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we have just sung about trusting in you. Lord, that is a word that we need especially, and which is good news, because, Lord, when our trust is in you, then there is true security, no matter what happens. For, Lord, we have set our hope and trust in you. In your word, you tell us to trust in the Lord, not half-heartedly, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not to lean on our own understanding. Lord, so often we confess that we lean on our own understanding. We put more trust in what we think is right or what we should do than we do in you. Oh Lord, deliver us from such folly, that we would trust in you with all our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. That in all our ways, not some of our ways, not once in a while, in all our ways, Lord, we would acknowledge you, you as Lord alone, you as Lord of all the universe, you as the Lord and Master of our lives. Lord, for then we will find indeed the peace that we seek. Then we will find indeed hope. And then we will know that our trust in you is indeed secure, and that we can invite others, Lord, to experience a life-changing relationship with you. Lord, thank you for this year that is before us. You know what is before us. We do not. And yet, Lord, when we trust in you, then it will be a good year indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, earlier in one of the songs that we sung, there was this scene of snow out there. It reminded me of Manitoba, where I grew up. Reminded me that our guest speaker this morning, Greg Lang, from our global mission agency, Multiply, was just in Winnipeg experiencing minus 30 degrees. And I'm glad he didn't get stranded there and that he was able to come and be with us this morning. I've known Greg for a number of years, but really what sparked getting him to come here, usually we have Sam Dick. He was one of dear friends that we also support in ministry. But we were at a leaders meeting, and he told me, hey, I was just recently in Colombia, one of the places where we support with our budget and have done so for a number of years. And he said, I was just there visiting the work there. And I said, why don't you come and share with us? Why don't you come bring a message and share with us? So, Greg, please come and share from God's word and an update for us this morning.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dave, and good morning, church. It's awesome to be here with you all. This is the coolest podium I've ever seen. There's a water bottle holder. Only here. And yes, minus 30 is a real deal. Like, there was that moment I was sitting with some people looking out on this frozen lake at this retreat center, and it's like, have you ever stopped to think it's like the same country and so different, because I knew it was just pouring rain in Vancouver. And one of our hosts, he said, okay, watch this. He went outside with a cup of boiled water and he threw it in the air and it turned into, wow. It just floated away as little particles of snow. I was like, wow. So every place in the same country is a special place. But respect the people who are living in minus 30. Don't send those blossom pictures in February to rub it in. That's just mean, right? Well, it is a real privilege to be here, and yes, I do want to report on some of the aspects of ministry in Colombia that you folks support, for which we're really grateful. And especially with this being New Year's Sunday, and Happy New Year, appreciate the, especially the prayer that was read out over us this morning. Like that was worth the trip for me. Like, wow, I feel very blessed, encouraged, fortified. Yeah, we could talk about New Year's resolutions. We'll leave that with you. Some people, you know, there's two types of people, the people that like resolutions, the people that don't. We'll leave that with you. Wanting to talk this morning about your mission statement. And we could start the PowerPoint there. Like, what is your mission statement for 2025? Like, we could put it this way. Where are you going? In fact, we could even get a little closer to your heart and ask, where are you growing? Because that's what we want to try to reorient our thinking this morning as we're at this threshold of this new year, especially to have before us the idea of the mission statement of Jesus. Now, a quick refresh about Multiply. Yes, we are your mission conference for the North American MB Church. Go to the next slide there. We're currently working in 70 countries, which, you know, it's not everywhere, but it's pretty exciting to see how God is increasing the invitations for service around the world. And go to the next slide there. This is our mission statement. Together, we send disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And you think, well, but that, isn't that like redundant? No, this is about movement. We want to see everywhere. We want to help in any way possible to see that disciple-making keeps on going and keeps on growing. This is our galvanizing, our unifying mission statement for the ministry around the world, that together the world would know Jesus, including Coquitlam. So next, we pursue this with three key strategies. Yes, we still send long-term missionaries. Like, in fact, even today, if you are wondering, boy, is there something I just can't get away from, this idea of going somewhere to serve? Well, this is part of my day job as a mobilizer. Like, please, I left some cards on the table in the lobby. Please reach out. Let's have coffee. Let's chat and explore what might be God's calling for you. I mean, this is a privilege for me. We partner with national leaders. So I will be reporting briefly on Pastor Jose Manuel Prada. Wow. That's a national leader to be proud of. And then we work everywhere to help disciples multiply. So today we're focusing on the mission statement of Jesus, which he said so plainly in Luke chapter 19. If you brought a Bible with you or your favorite app or you just want to listen, Luke chapter 19, the first 10 verses. In verse 10, Jesus says it plainly. I came to seek and to save the lost. Like, mic drop. Like, did you hear me? I came to seek and to save the lost. Now, because we're sent out like Jesus was sent, John 20 and 21, it's really important to understand that his mission is our mission in the general and the personal sense for anyone who would follow Jesus. So we want to look today at a very well-known story, and this is where I'm going to ask, you know, the interactive question. Anyone ever seen or used a flannel graph? Come on, let's see those hands. Next slide shows us the flannel graph of Zacchaeus. Like, I mean, this is like the ultimate low-tech. You don't need anything but a flannel board and the characters to put up. There's a problem with passages like this. For anyone who grew up in the church, it's almost too familiar. Like, yeah. The little short guy went up the tree, saw Jesus, he got saved. Wonderful story. But wait, did you hear the story? Let me read it for you, and we'll look to set up our viewfinder for Columbia through this brief and amazing story. So Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, which, interestingly, in the original language means innocent, clean, and pure. Like, that's so fascinating, right? It's kind of like, wow. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowds, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. So on the flannel graph, there's the tree, there's Zacchaeus. For he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when the crowd saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be with the guest of a man who's a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, and he has, I will give back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So if we go to the next slide, there's at least three important quick background things not to miss with this too familiar text. First of all, chapter 19 comes after chapter 18, hello, but chapter 18 and chapter 19 are the same continuing story, picking up intensity. So you need to almost step back to get chapter 19. Chapter 18 includes a rich ruler who wants to know, how can I get in on this? And Jesus said, because he's a good guy, he's kept the law. And Jesus said, well, there's this one thing, like he's rich. He's like, so just this one thing, just give your money to the poor. And that fellow went away sad because he was unable to do that. And the disciples asked, wow, like, who can actually enter the kingdom of God? Jesus said, it's hard for the rich to enter, like the camel going through the eye of a needle. Like, it's a whole story prepping this story. So the rich ruler walks away sadly, followed by a blind guy who interrupts the whole entourage as they're coming into Jericho. And the blind man will not be put down or shushed. And he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And full stop, Jesus asks him, what can I do for you? Like, Jesus interacts with the blind person, heals him. Now, the crowd liked that one. But let's get going to Jerusalem. Like, there's a intensification happening. We are going to Jerusalem to crown Jesus king. They have their agenda. They think they know what's going on, but not yet. So if you look at the commentaries, it's clearly this blind man being healed with the backdrop of a rich person walking away sadly sets up Zacchaeus, because he is rich, and he's blind because he can't see Jesus. Like, do you get what's, like, this is so interesting when we come to the story then. So secondly, there's an emphasis on seeing and seeking. So in Luke, you must note that blindness and sight are also metaphors for salvation. This is so important to get. It's not just literally, wow, I can see. It's actually, I am saved. Ooh, this is really powerful story here. And then finally, and I hope you heard this as I read it with emphasis in verse 5 and verse 9, there's the key word today. There's an urgency. There's a now to the kingdom of God. So salvation, yes, is a process. So glad you guys are doing Alpha. Like, this is part of somebody's process of learning about Jesus as they're seeking something. Like, a lot of people, they literally starting the new year wondering, what is the purpose? Just before the end of last year, I was on a brief flight to visit with pastors up in Prince George. The airplanes have these two seats, and there's two types of people. there's the chatty people and the not chatty people, you know. So I was waiting to see if the guy next to me was chatty or not. For a long time, he was not. But then he was, and he was like, hey, you know, so he's a bit older than me. I learned he grew up in Portugal. You know, it's not difficult if you listen and ask questions to understand people's backstories, if they have any connection with church or faith. Oh, he grew up Roman Catholic, and, you know, his grandma took him to Mass how many times a week, done with that. But he's searching, and he's telling me on the short flight about his searching. And he says to me, so Greg, what's the purpose? Like, why are we here? I'm like, okay. This is like slow pitch. But seriously, like, this is a prototypical neighbor. He's from Port Moody, not that far away, going about his business, and he's seeking. So as I got up off the plane, I said to him, you know, we had a good chat, some rapport there. I said to him with my whole heart, I said, I pray, and I'm praying for him by name. I pray that you will have a revelation of Jesus. Like, what will actually change someone's life? What will interrupt and cause the satisfaction? Because he's seeking that Jesus would reveal himself and welcome him home. This is our calling. It's interesting, though, like, any time I've had a chance to share my faith, it's often like, oh, like right now. Like, you know, like, you're not like, oh, I'm going to, like, get warmed up and do some spiritual calisthenics. No, it's like, oh, what's the purpose? So just always be ready to give a reason. Like, this is an instruction from 1 Peter, right? Like, always be ready to give a reason for your faith with gentleness and respect. That's our call. So what do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, from this text, we know a bunch of things. He's a Jew, he's a ruler, he's wealthy. Boy, it sounds like chapter 18, doesn't it? But how is he wealthy? Well, he's a tax collector. And this is where you can cue the background music of, like, dum, 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 like he is rich because of injustice. He's robbing his neighbors. This is someone who's collaborating with the evil Romans. This is not the person who should be hanging out with Jesus, according to the crowd. He's a categorical sinner. He's the wrong guy to receive mercy. And back to chapter 18 with the other rich ruler, and the question was raised, well, who then can be saved? And the crowd would say, not Zacchaeus. No way. Zacchaeus is blocked. Can't see Jesus. Because a couple more things that we know about Zacchaeus. He is vertically challenged. That's, you know, that's a very nice way of saying he's, like, you know. And if you read carefully the text, especially in the Greek, there's the clear indication as well that the crowd is helping him to not see Jesus. So in other words, Zacchaeus goes over here, the crowd goes over here. Zacchaeus goes over there, the crowd goes over there, preventing him. They do not want him to see Jesus. He really, really needs to see Jesus with urgency and scampers up the sycamore tree, which is a shameful thing to do if you are a rich ruler kind of person. Like, you don't do that. This guy really is desperate. So follow the unfolding narrative. Jesus enters Jericho to Jerusalem. The crowd is urging him on. There's all these interruptions. Let's go, let's go. Zacchaeus is blocked. Scampers up the tree. Jesus sees him, calls him by name. Do you know Jesus is still calling people by name, including maybe somebody in this house or someone watching online? Like, right now, you might be thinking, today, I actually don't know if I know Jesus. Maybe you're starting the new year, coming in here as a neighbor, thinking, well, yeah, new year, I should maybe go to church. That's something I could do. This is no coincidence. Today is a day of salvation. So today, if you've even been coming for a long time, and you smile real good, and people don't even know if you are or aren't a Christian, a follower of Jesus, today's a day of invitation for you to follow Jesus. Jesus calls him by name. They know, I met with someone downtown who works with Muslim background people, and he told me story after story after story of people having dreams of Jesus in Vancouver. So we've heard that in the Middle East, but no, like right now. People are having dreams of Jesus, being called by name to be saved. Praise God. Like God is moving. So Jesus then, after pronouncing salvation, declares his mission statement. And what happens when Zacchaeus receives Jesus? What happens is a couple of really big things. One, the joy breaks out. This guy is glad. He's overflowing with joy, which should remind us of the echo parables of the 100 sheep. One goes missing, the 10 coins, one goes missing, the two sons, one goes missing. At each and every juncture in the parable, what happens when someone is found? This is like, work with me. Joy! Yeah. The other thing, though, is justice breaks out. He's moved to make things right as a reflex of receiving grace. This is a powerful point here, that the fruit of repentance should be reconciliation. The gospel is always relational, meant to, this is Jesus' work, to reconcile, to redeem, to bring back together. So immediately he says, I'm going to give half to the poor. Remember the other rich ruler? I can't. Like without even a thought, half to the poor. And if I've ripped anyone off, I'll go to the maximum of the law, 40%. This is like the maximum penalty that you could pay. He wants to show like he really is serious. Well, what are some takeaways for us today? And as we prepare to ponder what's happening in Colombia, there's two or three really clear ways to apply this. First of all, like who's seeking whom? I mean, really, this is a story about someone who's seeking Jesus, but actually Jesus is seeking him. So God is on the move. This is the heart of God. Jesus is showing us the heart of God, seeking, saving the lost. Well, secondly, this is about the whole theme of lost and found. In Luke, this term lost, get out your Greek, you can get an app, like there's some really cool stuff you can like just look it up. Like lost is not, in this context, it's not misplaced. Like, man, have you ever thought you lost your phone? Like you thought you'd, like that panic attack. Did I leave it? Oh, I found it. This is not what that means. Lost in Luke is perishing in harm's way. Takes us again back to the prodigal, like the 100, the 10, the 2. When the prodigal son comes to his senses, he says, I am perishing. I am lost. Same word. I am lost. This is like really urgent. Misplaced is potentially inconvenient. Perishing is serious business, in harm's way, spiritually speaking. And saved in this text It means to be made well, to be healed, to be made whole. Isn't that just an incredible word for 2025? To be saved is to be made well, to be brought in, to be healed. And then, of course, we are sent to seek and to save the lost. This is our calling. So I want to introduce you to your global worker, national partner, Jose Manuel Prado. If we go to the next picture, here's the classic selfie with Brother Jose. And he says, "Greetings, Eagle Ridge." As emailing him with, you know, it's great. You can actually do like translation stuff, like boom, because my Spanish is poquito, but. So he's the leader of Jaime Aquí, which means I am here. And this is the sending agency of the MB Conference for Colombia. Like, you're partnered with an absolute real deal. I was so encouraged to meet him, not just as a national director and someone who's instigating a lot of evangelism, but just sitting with him and following him around. You're like, this guy has one thought, and he's got a lot of joy, by the way. I just want to seek and save the lost. That's all I want to do. And I want to bring people with me to learn how to seek and save the lost. That's all I want to do. So if we go to the next slide, we flew down, a couple of us from the Lower Mainland, to join a group of students from Paraguay who are having a cross-cultural mission trip. Like, they're Spanish-speaking, but to go to Colombia, and we've been doing this program for a few years. So we went to a city called Valle de Por, which is up in the north of Colombia, pretty close to Venezuela border. And it was the opposite of Winnipeg. Temperature speaking. Well, actually, in a couple ways. You cannot walk very long in a flat part of Colombia, actually. You're gonna run into a mountain, which will have coffee on top. Not bad. The reward. It is there. But the other thing is, wow, was it hot. Even the local people, you know, okay. Yesterday in Winnipeg, the local people were saying, man, it's cold. So that's when I knew it was cold. In Colombia, when we were there in October, the local people were saying, man, it's hot. And I'm like, I'm not kidding. It's like at the first day we were out in the outreach, and I think I got a little heat stroke, like just even walking around, like, wow, same planet. But let's go to the next picture, show you the team. So on the left are those of us who traveled to visit with Brother Jose, and then from Paraguay, and then this on the right there includes all the people who came with him from another part of Colombia. This is his A-team of evangelists that they brought. So this next picture, I think, just really captures Jose. Like, he's doing this training for us, and it's like, he just paused right there. And like, I took a picture of him, like, this is the brother that you guys support, and he's the real deal. Like, you just get excited about Jesus just hanging out with him. And that smile is the joy of the Lord. That is his strength and his source of calling. So next slide here. This is one of the churches that we worked with. So look on the left there. You're like, wow, that's a lot of like security. Like, when they close the church down, like, it is like, wow. On the inside, and this was as people were coming in, it got pretty full. You know, I just tried to do the little over-the-shoulder selfie. I didn't want to, like, hi, I'm, you know, tourist. And you see, it's like a good variety of intergenerational people, neighbors coming in, a vibrant, vibrant church. I got to connect personally with three different churches. Like, wow, they really have a lot of joy in a really challenging circumstance. In Philippians 3, Philippians has a number of uses of the word koinonia. In chapter 3, there's particularly the koinonia, the participation in the suffering of Jesus. So churches that have had a lot of suffering know Jesus. This is a this is something for us in the West to really ponder. So, like, for example, to make it real, we stayed in this little hotel in this, probably 500,000 people, I think, in this kind of regional city. And I was with Pastor Jose as we arrived, and we're going to get into a taxi to go to another, to go to the church where he was doing the training. And the fellow from the front desk runs out the front door and he says, "Don't get in that taxi. I did not call that taxi." Like, whoa. Like, it was a proper taxi, you know, the light, the, you know, yellow, everything, the telephone number. He said, "Wait." And then another taxi came up and he said, "That's the taxi I called. Get in that one." I'm like, wow. And Pastor Jose said to us at the orientation, he said, "You cannot go outside of this hotel by yourself." Like, oh. So, like, even as we were going out with the local churches, like, we didn't bring our phones for cameras. Like, it was, so I don't have many pictures being out and about because, you know, watch off, ring off, like, but the church has the joy of the Lord. I gotta say, I hope I can go back. I can't wait to get back. They're just awesome. They have so much joy. But yeah, wow. You really have to watch what you're doing, especially if you don't look like a local like me. Like, I'm like Gigantor in, I've never been to Colombia before. Everyone else is not as tall, it seems. And yeah, I stood out like this. Woo! Yeah. So, yeah, you got to know where you are. But let me report on what happened to the next slide. Pastor Jose went five times, so this is a 24-hour bus ride for him to go from where he lives to Valle de Par. He went five times, organized 36 local churches for us to work with over 2 weeks. Yeah. So our whole team worked with groups of churches for brief installments in the same city. So basically prayer walking and going door to door with a particular curriculum written that's so appropriate for common Catholic background culture. And it's amazing at the door. We are praying. It's amazing what the Lord does before your very eyes. And at the end of the 2 weeks, 1,115 people had prayed for confidence in Christ, their names written down with the local church, who would follow them up and invite them into fellowship, invite them into discipleship. We brought boxes and boxes of Bibles. Each church got a box of New Testaments. So people, like, this is real. People are actually invited into fellowship, not just like, hey, there's a hand, check. There's a number, check. No, it's like, this is, come and join us to follow Jesus. Very amazing story. So, you know, you can be impressed with big numbers like that. Like, that's a two-week outreach. Like, wow. And we left the local church with the follow-up because every name has an address and a phone number, very careful. So they got, slow-pitch follow-up to invite to Alpha. Like, every church had a roster of neighbors to follow up. That's a very exciting prospect for a pastor, let me tell you. But let me ask this question, because that's a lot of numbers, right? Like, did you see that one coming? Like 1,000 people? Like, I was watching it happen. I'm like, wow. But is it worth it for one? Let me show you a brother that I personally got to meet. Now, just before this one, we did the same outreach in Mexico where we could have our cameras. The fellow with the couple on the left of the screen there, I was with our small outreach team with, so the woman in blue is the wife of the fellow who's one of the pastoral staff of this local church. So I was with her and a Paraguayan Bible college student, and we were going door to door through this, you know, nondescript neighborhood. Everything's like, have you ever been to these places? Like, it's all walls. Like, you knock on someone's front door by knocking on their front gate, and it's either like bars or big chunks of steel. Like, it's very secure. And they open up a little hatch, or they open the door, you know, ever so gingerly to say hi. And it's amazing what the Holy Spirit does when someone opens the door to say hi. So I heard afterwards from the Paraguayan Bible College student who was sharing her testimony that she just felt she should talk about someone that she knew back in Paraguay who was suicidal. Like, she hadn't planned to say this. So she's telling this old, you know, I don't know Spanish that well, but I'm watching like, wow, this is quite a conversation happening. This older fellow is listening and he says, I can't believe you've come to my door because I was really thinking about taking my life. So, wow. So we talked with him about the hope of Jesus and invited him to know Jesus. And then, so this couple on the left, they sent me the picture on the right because they went back, gave him a New Testament. And I want to tell you, that guy is not just alive. He's alive. Like, this guy holding the New Testament was thinking of ending his life at home. We just happened to be sent to seek and save the lost, knocked on his door, and today was the day of salvation for him. This is real. And I'm so pleased and blessed to share not only these stories with you, but to invite you into the game. Like, don't just watch other people's stories. This is our calling. So as we look at 2025, as we wrap up with that idea of what is your mission statement, like, one way of answering it is the old-fashioned question, who's your neighbor? Like, that's all we did in Colombia and in Mexico the month before, was literally go with the local church to their neighbors to show them that people are open to the gospel. It's like, wow, they really are. People are really seeking. They really don't have confidence. They really don't know the purpose. They really are lonely around here. I don't know if you heard the big survey done in Vancouver. The number one problem is not that. The number one problem, people answer it, is not the downtown east side or the high cost of housing. The number one problem is loneliness. And as I'm looking around at this family of God, I'm like, this is why we're here, to welcome people from being lonely, to adopt them into family. Is this not why we're here? Yes. And I'm so excited you're doing Alpha. So as we close, the question is literally, who could you invite to join you at Alpha? Let's pack it out. It's a great program. Like, I've been through it. We've used it. I used to be a pastor. We always used it. It's just a program. Like, what Brother Jose does in Colombia is just a program. It's not like the magic bullet or something. It's just a program. But when you gather, when in faith, and you pray, and you invite, and you open your heart, and you open your hands, and you open the table, which leads us to the segue to the Lord's table. Is this not the best way to start a new year, with our hearts being freshly reoriented to the grace and the mercy that we said yes to? But then how can we keep that to ourselves? So Pastor Dave, why don't you lead us on? Thank you.
Amen. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming today and for sharing with us. I think it was just the timing with the Alpha and launching us into the new year. Just praise the Lord for that. If you would like prayer, we have Alyssa and Lois will be available right here immediately following the service up on your right-hand side, and I know they would be glad to pray with you. And so please encourage you to take advantage of that. And also invite you to stay and to visit and to share together with one another. Maybe you've got a resolution, or maybe there is a takeaway for you this morning. Maybe that trust slide, it was like, that was for me. Or the prayer that was prayed over us, or in the message. Greg will be at the back and available if you'd like to talk with him. I know he would welcome that. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.